Many times we do talk about this soft close where you have your key accounts, which you're reconciling before you even close the books. So it will be all the key accounts, like the major accounts that are going to have an impact into your expenses and into your gross profit or EBITDA or whatever you may call it. So you could actually have your fixed assets accounts included into this soft close. You're doing it 1 or 2 days before you just close the books. This is it, we're reporting out, just to ensure that you've captured all the expenses and the expenses that you've captured are correctly stated.
Hello and welcome to the Gross Profit Podcast. I'm your host, James Kennedy, CEO and co-founder at procurementexpress.com. We take the hassle out of managing your company's purchasing with magical features. And today I'm very excited to find probably one of the few people on the planet who are as passionate about accounts reconciliation as we are here at Procurement Express. Nadia Loderman, welcome to the show. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from and where you are now.
I am Nadia Loderman. I am a EPM consultant for Oracle Applications. My background is in finance and accounting, and I do have 20 plus years of working as an accountant, but I have escaped to the other side. So I have 5 years ago, I've moved on to be a solution engineer for Oracle, and that is where my new journey started. What I'm doing today is I'm actually implementing the Oracle solutions for financial software.
Brilliant. So the interesting part for me here is you started off as a solutions engineer. And what's the difference between a solutions engineer and a solution partner? Did I get that right? So you were selling the product and now you're actually trying to fulfill that promise. Is that the difference?
So a solution engineer, especially for the software providers, is the technical expert. Right. So you'll have your sales teams and they're going to go in and try to lure the customer into buying the solution. But it's all about, you know, understanding what the pain points are and understanding or presenting the benefits and the advantages of implementing a certain solution. And this is where the solution engineer comes in. They are that liaison between the requirements and the pain points that the customer wants to resolve with the new solution. And the pre-sales consultant or the solution engineer, as you may call it, is the one who can actually present that and explain it to the customer and actually tailor the solution a little bit so that the customer will see exactly how their life is going to be once they buy and implement that solution.
I love the word lure there. That's exactly what happens. Sometimes I'm dealing with a company and I get a very charming, well-spoken person to help me, you know, schedule the appointments. But I really know I want to try and get through to someone like you who really knows the product, can actually do the implementation.
Exactly. And then what I'm doing now, so I've left Oracle about a year ago, and now I am working with an Oracle partner. And these are the people that are actually implementing. So I could just, as a solution engineer, I'll just go in there and say, listen, you just have no worries. This is doing everything for you and probably will bring you coffee in the morning as well. But then as a implementation partner, that is when you have to actually deliver.
So let's break this down, because I'm very excited because you've escaped the belly of the beast. You are no longer under the cosh of your corporate overlords. And now we can dig in a little bit in this podcast. Maybe we can give some people advice on what you expect to hear and what the value is proposed to be. And then we'll contrast that a little bit at the end. But well, what do you have to do to achieve that? I think that would be useful. So this whole category comes under enterprise performance management. That's what I think I'll hear people saying if I ring up Oracle today. And maybe you could just break that down. What does that bit of jargon mean, enterprise performance management?
In dealing with all the operations, all the financial operations that are happening in a company, you know, you sell your products, you cash your invoices, and then you pay your vendors and all of that. You have the ERP, that's the enterprise resource planning. And this is where you are actually recording everything that is happening in your company. You make sure the invoice is being recorded into the ERP. You paid your vendor is being recorded into the ERP. It's a ledger, right? It's a ledger of everything that you've done. But then you come into the enterprise performance management, and this is where you're trying to figure out, am I actually making money or am I losing money? Which direction is my company going? So the ERP is about, you know, driving the car, but then the enterprise performance management is about giving direction. We want to go this way. And this is where we analyze the data. This is where we analyze the results. This is where we're simulating when you're thinking of planning and budgeting and forecasting and all of that. So you need to work with a lot of variables. So you will need an EPM product to be able to be flexible enough for you to tweak all the different, like what will happen with the inflation, what will happen with the interest rate, what will happen with, you know, us opening a new branch somewhere else, how is that going to impact us? So for that, you need the EPM.
Actually, I was listening to a podcast this morning and they were talking about how Oracle has a plugin for spreadsheets. I think it's called Crystal Ball for SMBs that can allow people to do some sort of forecasting if you're doing it at a spreadsheet level. But this is the often quoted, be strategic, not tactical, get above the numbers, you know, add more value. This is all the stuff that everyone wants to do in their job, not just recording everything. That's all going to be in your ERP, which you've probably already paid handsomely for. But to really unlock the value, you need this other module. Of course you do. There's always another module you need in order to truly unlock the module and value. So starting off with, you already need to be on Oracle, one of Oracle's ERPs, to get going with this, or is this something that could work with any platform?
The Oracle EPM is actually source agnostic. So it works with virtually any type of data source. So it's not just the ERP, which is your data sources, because you will have, like, if you're a bank, then you have your own systems where you handle all the loans, the interest, the credit cards, payments, and all of that. So it's all about, you know, bringing the data from all of the ERP systems, but also third-party data sources. So the Oracle EPM is source agnostic, and you have all sorts of integrations which are being delivered out of the box with the solution. So all the REST APIs and all of that to extract that data.
Well, I got excited about this in this podcast was the idea of talking about accounts reconciliation. Shouldn't all that happen in the ERP already, or is the EPM product, do you need it to really get that done properly?
The majority of the ERPs are actually offering this, some sort of reconciliations, but it's mainly geared around your accounts payables, accounts receivable, fixed assets, and maybe some bank accounts. When you talk about the accounts reconciliation, you have to reconcile every single one account in your balance sheet. So yes, while the ERPs will offer you some functionality, you will still need the EPM, because in the ERP, you will not have the compliance part of the reconciliation. So you will not have a workflow. You will not have a track record of, yes, I had my accountants prepare the reconciliation. Then I had a manager reviewing it. And then I had a director to sign off before I actually go and produce my financial statements and report to the investors, to the market, to wherever you are. And then you also have the situation where not all the data is coming from the ERP. As I mentioned it with the banks, right? So they need to reconcile their credit card transactions. They need to reconcile their loans. They need to reconcile their interbank transactions, right? The cross banks. I'm just sending money. I'm Bank of Ireland and sending money to AIB. I need to be able to reconcile that. So you cannot do that into the ERP. That is why you need a built for purpose, really, EPM application to do that.
So speak to me like I'm an idiot for a minute. Let's say I have a payment provider, Stripe. We take most of our money through Stripe, and I get a payment from Stripe, and then I have to reconcile that with my invoices, and I just do that in my ledger. Zero is what we use. So give me an example of an account that we're not reconciling, but we really should, and what benefit do we get from that?
Your tax accounts. Your tax accounts, that's the largest invoice, the largest bill your CFO is ever going to pay.
Right.
So they need to know that your tax accounts are correctly stated. They need to know that if you made a payment, that is recorded into your trial balance. There's a lot of different tax accounts. We talk about payroll taxes, right? You have processed your payroll. you've recorded your taxes, you need to pay them. You have your VAT, you have your corporate tax. So those accounts are a little bit difficult to reconcile because it's all about applying that professional judgment when you're looking at an account to say, well, I do have a receivable in my VAT account, but I should actually have a payable because, you know, I'm selling more than I'm buying. That is where you actually enhance or make use of the skills and the experience that your accountants, not the actual system, are going to apply to correctly stating your tax accounts, right? So for that, you will need the EPM application, the accounts reconciliation. And there's really like, it's those are difficult ones because you don't really know where you should be landing. You don't really know what the correct answer is. So this is where the accountants are bringing the value of their experience and education.
So if I had two sales guys, but they were selling different products in the same jurisdiction, their tax is going to the tax authority there, and I want to see the true ROI on that cost, that's what I need an EPM for.
Yes, correct. When you're looking at your sales guys, you're looking at, you know, other KPIs. How many visits to the customers has he made? How many leads has he generated from the visits? What's your conversion rate for their visits, right? So you will need an EPM product for that, and you will not be able to do it in the ERP because ERP is very much regulated. It's like, you know, you have to record your financial transactions. These are non-financial transactions, but they're still very important to you. So then you will need this EPM system that is going to be a lot more flexible. You can introduce new KPIs and you can introduce new vectors or drivers that you're going to judge the performance of each of your employees.
So let's go back to this accountant's judgment. So give me an example of where it's not going to be cut and dry and you need the knowledge level of an accountant to really figure out what a cost is going to be accrued to, I guess.
So accruals is the best example, for instance, because, you know, you record your expenses and your revenue based on the invoices that you issue or receive from your customers. But then your company is called Procurement Express, and then you're dealing with purchase orders, right? And you use the purchase orders as a way of budgeting the costs for every single department, right? This is what you can spend for this service with this vendor. And then you have that budget pre-approved through the purchase orders. But if the vendor's not sending you the invoice for the month, you should be recording that expense, right? Then you need to capture that expense through an accrual. Accruals is again one of the specialty accounts where your accountants are going to again become very, very important. Their professional judgment is going to be very important for you because they need to identify the expenses that are not there already and they need to book an accrual for that. But at the same time, so say you've captured an accrual in the previous month, but then now you received the invoice and you forgot to reverse that accrual, right? So you basically have recorded that expense twice. And it's for your accountant to investigate and really ensure that, you know, if that accrual needs to stay there, it's okay to stay there, but maybe it needs to be reversed out. And that will have an impact in your bottom line, but it will also have an impact into your balance sheet and statement and your cash flow statement.
And this is where it gets tricky because the operations people might actually be the people who really know what the accrual should be for. And, you know, back in the finance office, you can make your best guess. If it's a small business, you can get away with it. But as things grow, it becomes impossible because it's just hard to know with so many purchases, et cetera.
Correct. And a good accounts reconciliation solution will allow you to introduce new people into the process of certifying the accounts, right? So if I know that Ben might have an insight that I could use to gauge how much my accrual should be, if I need to reverse it, if I need to book a top up or something like that, I can actually introduce Ben into the workflow, ask for him to reply to my request, and that will be captured in the audit log. So then when your auditors are coming in, looking at your financial statements, looking at your year-end accounts, they will also see that you have confirmed the correct level of the accrual with the person that knows and has the correct information.
And let's face it, you get to cover your ass as well. And this almost becomes more like project management at this stage and auditing the change. I can 100% see that. We do it ourselves and for a lot of our customers, and they do that as well. Some of these businesses are so incredibly complex, you're amazed it runs it all, and you really need something to help you. Is cost-level accounting the big output here? Is that the big benefit?
It's not. It's not for the accounts reconciliation, but there are other solutions, other modules within the EVM that could help you with cost-level accounting. And also, when you think about, you know, really allocating the costs, right? Because you have your overheads and administrative costs, and then you probably want to allocate them to different departments, different functions within the organization, then you can also leverage the EVM to allow you to build those allocation rules based on, you know, the headcount or the square footage or whatever driver you're using to allocate the costs.
Okay, so I can see how, you know, the audit is a big piece of this. You get four eyes on every transaction, and you get the people who actually know to be the people who are actually going to sign off and do the correct allocations. And then is it the same for fixed assets? Explain to me how that would work when it comes to your fixed assets.
Well, it is the same for your fixed assets, because most important thing about your fixed assets is that you need to capture the monthly amortization. So this will also be something that, yes, you could do it in the ERP. Not all ERPs will have that functionality in there. And then you come into the accounts reconciliation and you're really looking like, okay, so this is where you identify if your depreciation and the amortization have actually been recorded for the period, right? Because if you're coming to the accounts reconciliation, you're looking at the balance and you see that you had the exact same balance the previous month, then you know you didn't record your depreciation and your amortization. And then we do talk about this soft close, where you have your key accounts that you're reconciling before you even close the books. So it will be all the key accounts, like the major accounts that are going to have an impact into your expenses and into your gross profit or EBITDA or whatever you may call it. So you could actually have your fixed assets accounts included into this soft close. You're doing it 1 or 2 days before you just close the books. This is it, we're reporting out, just to ensure that you've captured all the expenses, and the expenses that you've captured are correctly stated.
So let's leave no one behind, primarily me, in this conversation. So amortization versus depreciation, what's the difference there? Give me some examples.
A few years ago, we've started distinguishing between the amortization and the depreciation. So now we talk about depreciating the assets. So you buy an office for a building for your office, and you've paid the money upfront, and the revenue man is going to allow you to take a part of that cost that you paid upfront and include it into your expenses for every single month for a certain period of time. Now, this is the depreciation. The amortization, we talk about it when we talk about prepayments, right? So you've paid your rent for the whole year, but you're not going to capture the expense for the rent in the month that you've actually made the payment. And instead, you're going to split that equally over the course of the next 12 months. Every single month, you're going to capture a 12th of that. So that is where you're amortizing it.
Basically, fixed assets depreciate, and then some sort of service will amortize that you've prepaid for. That really impacts the EBITDA versus the net profit. Because you can say, okay, fair enough, you paid for this big building. It's kind of unfair, quote unquote, to take all of the hit for that in one period, where you're going to have the value over, say, 5 years, 20 years, or whatever you're going to amortize it over. And the same goes on the revenue side, I guess, which we have a lot of. We got a lot of prepayments for a year or whatever. We don't get to say, hey, we got all that money in the first month. We still got 11 months of work to do before we've earned it.
Correct. Correct.
Who's a great customer for the Oracle's EPM product? Like who's a typical, like perfect chef's kiss? This person should really be using it. This is going to save them so much trouble.
Everybody. Everybody. Aside from the obvious cost of the solution. Although Oracle does have two tiers for selling this EPM. So you could actually get it at a lower cost, but then you have some functionality that you're missing, but you might be okay without that functionality. It's mainly around the transaction matching. In your case, you have Stripe, you maybe have a lot of card payments from your customers or maybe not. So you may actually live without the transaction matching part. So you could still get a cheaper kind of a price for the accounts reconciliation. But if you're thinking of your own personal account or my personal account, I'm always going to look into the, I'm just going to open the Bank of Ireland and I'm going to look in there like, you know, did I pay my mortgage bill, right? Did I pay it twice? Oh, hang on. That's not good. I need to go back to them and ask them to give me the money back. We're all doing it in a way. If you are a company who is looking at attracting investors, if you are a company who have a requirement to have your financial statements audited, implementing a solution which is like built for purpose and it has the modern best practices included into the solution. So you have a workflow, you have, you know, certain users who will have to have their input and the review of that. They have the segregation of duties. So you're looking into the SOX compliance. If you are a company, any size of a company who looks at attracting investors, you will have your financial statements audited. You could actually reduce the cost of your audit if you're implementing a solution which has all of these elements like segregation of duties, automation. We don't really talk a lot about the automation, but really automating how the data is being extracted from the data sources and not have that human element in manipulating the data, because that is where your auditors are going to become like really interested about.
So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. So in my mind, if I hear of Oracle, I think, okay, well, you need 100 grand the first year for the setup fee, and then you need 150 grand a year after that to keep the software going. Is that the price of entry?
It's easy for people to think that the Oracle products are very expensive, and it's probably right there at the top. But, you know, everything's negotiable. The price list is the price list, but you could always negotiate like a very nice discount in your contract. Very, very nice discount. And I've never seen anyone paying the price list.
When is the end of quarter for the sales reps in Oracle? Is it on the calendar or are they offset?
Well, actually, the best time for you to buy Oracle products is now, because their year end is at the end of May. So this is Q4 for them. So anyone who's not done their quota, they've not reached their quota, is going to give you a very good price.
So for 2025, maybe fire up your conversations with the reps early Jan, maybe before December, and then aim to close at the end of May and see how you get on.
It's also about when is the right time for the customer to implement it. And you always want to do that before your year end. So you have to work it backwards. You know, when is your year end? When you need to have that solution in place? When is it that you need to go live and actually hopefully have 2-3 months before the year end? So you have to go work backwards from your timeline.
You know, a lot of the reasons you're talking about there, a lot of the benefits Procurement Express offers as well in a different segment of the market, I guess. Now, what's it been like going from promising the benefits, you know, your solution provider? You can tell us a bit about what you do for people, the sort of people you help. What have you learned now that you're trying to actually deliver that value you've been talking about for so long?
Yeah, you should always be careful of what you're promising the people, because we might actually come back and bite you. It's actually a very interesting, and I actually like it, because now you get to speak to the customers and they're a little bit more open to letting you in, basically, because now you're part of their team. So you are there to really help them, not just promising that you're going to help them, but you are there now to really, really help them. And it's actually, it's very interesting to see how people are moving from, we're doing everything in Excel. Oh yeah, it does take a lot of time. Oh yeah, this Excel spreadsheets are actually breaking down and then you can't recover them and all of that, to saying, well, you know, actually, this is taking too long for me. So if you could just do something so that it reduces from spending 5 minutes to spending just a few seconds, if you could, please. It's very interesting. And it's actually rewarding when you see that people are starting to see the benefits. And then they're coming with their own ideas of how they could further implement that solution into their day-to-day life. And it's kind of, it's, you see them, you know, liberated a little bit, because now they finally have something that is going to help them. And it's not just the customers who are moving from using the Excel spreadsheets. There's a lot of customers who are using some very dated solutions, and you know, they've implemented it like 30 years ago. The world has changed. The business environment has changed. And now they're looking at it with, you know, fresh eyes, and they're getting really excited about what they could get. And they're becoming very demanding. As we do say it when we're trying to sell it to them, the Oracle solutions are very, very flexible. So aside from being a SaaS application that is coming with a lot of pre-built functionality in it, there is still room for adjusting it to your own way of doing things.
I'm smiling because I spoke to a customer on Friday and they were telling me, oh, we're so happy with the product. It's great. It saved me so much time. And the best thing is that, you know, Benny's told me we can totally change it if we want to and make it do all these. I was like, really? Oh, can we?
There is a horror story about that, Dan. It's really very much public, and it's very much unfolding as we talk about it. And it's the Birmingham City Council, or whatever it's called, where they thought they could actually just take the Oracle ERP, dismantle it in pieces, and then putting it back together the way they thought they should use it. And it's not really working like that. You know, you can really break a good solution if you're trying to tweak it a little bit too much.
The other interesting I heard you say there was in the first half of this discussion, you know, we had quite let's call it intellectual conversation about analytics and adding value and reconciling correctly and all the reasons for them. But I also see when it comes down to the implementation size, like exactly what you said, something that used to take someone 5 minutes now takes them a few seconds. That's actually what lights people up.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to justify that before you buy. Say, well, I'm going to save you 5 minutes here and 4 minutes here and half an hour here and so on. You know, you're getting paid anyway. Shouldn't you just be toughing it up and doing it? But that actually, when you deploy it, that's the benefit to the team, is that they are, you know, the way I like to see it is we send thousands of people home 10 minutes early every day. That's if you do that alone, that's a reasonable dent in the universe, you know?
Yeah. And especially with the accounts reconciliation, like I've done it myself for many years, right? And this is probably the one activity, the one task where we're actually spending the most of the time, because back in the days when I was working as an accountant, we used to do this for a whole week, every single month. So my team of 8 accountants, they were doing accounts reconciliation for a full week. So that is 40 days, 5 days, 8 people, 40 days. And can you imagine if you could reduce that just by 2 days? And it's not about releasing the people. It's not about firing the people. It's not about you no longer need those accountants. It's just about giving them the headspace to think and actually analyze and actually provide you with the value of an accountant. Because these people are going through like, what, 3 years of college, and then they're going to do the certifications. Sure. And those are not easy. those are not easy, and they take a lot of time, they take a lot of money, and they take a lot of effort. And then what you're going to do with that, you're just going to sit them at a desk, and they're going to say, well, here's your nice Excel spreadsheet. Please reconcile the left column to the right column. And they're going to be excited about that.
Well, speaking of job losses, let's talk about AI to finish up a little bit. What's your prediction for how AI is going to impact maybe accounts reconciliation or EPM or finance teams?
The AI is here to help us. That's how I see it. But we have to, first of all, implement it, train the users to use it, and in regards to the accounts reconciliation, it's really about the quality of the data that you're bringing in. So before we even start talking about the AI and all of that, let's talk about, you know, the quality of the data that is coming from the ERP. We're going to use the AI to, you know, extract the data. We're going to use the AI to advance the reconciliations through the workflow. We're going to use all the rules, like if the account doesn't have any activity and it's zero balance, we just push it through and the accountants don't have to look at it, which is something that you will not have if you're doing your reconciliation in the Excel spreadsheets, because they need to download a report, put it into the Excel spreadsheet, see that there was no activity into that period, the balance is zero, and then they move on. Whereas, you know, we talk about AI, but it's really all about the automation and how is that going to help your accountants come up with a professional conclusion to the accuracy of the data that they are presenting to you. And it's about, you know, each accountant takes pride in their work. It's about giving them the actual tools to do a good job, a good quality job that is going to give them satisfaction.
The best explanation of it I heard is that it's the work that would not have been done is going to get done with AI.
And we see a lot in, especially in software providers like Oracle, but also the other major software providers, they are embedding this into their solution. So there is one that they've released it where Oracle is looking at your forecast data and is looking at your budget data and is trying to uncover the biases, the under-promising and over-delivering that all the salespeople are doing and all of that. And then they're analyzing, you know, what the trend is, looking at your past sales numbers, what the trend is, and really taking in consideration the seasonality and, you know, all of that. And they will allow you to correct your forecast with the numbers that are being unbiased.
So this is something we've done in software engineering for many years, where you have a predicted number of points that I say as an engineer, I'm going to be able to complete in a quarter. And of course, humans were just terrible, terrible predictors. And then you kind of, as a engineering manager, you learn, oh, James always overpromises, Nadia underpromises a little bit, you know, and then you sort of normalize for that. It's tricky. It's very tricky. I for one, welcome our new AI overlords. And if they're listening to this in the future, I want them to remember me saying that. So I finish up the podcast with one or two questions. And sometimes I ask, who's your business hero? But you picked the other question today, which is, if you only had one afternoon to improve any business, what would you do?
I will get everyone to really, really consider if the amount of work they're doing today can be done faster and better with a solution. And then when you're looking at, yes, Oracle is expensive, there are other solutions which are not as expensive. What is it that you're trying to save? Are you trying to save money, or is it that you're trying to save time? Money is an unlimited resource. Time is not. So get your value out of your time. And this is where I think I will try to convince the people that I have this story about myself where I needed to do the VAT return for a company, like a small little company that I have. And I have actually spent 8 hours on a Saturday, which is, you know, my day off. I'm working like just like everyone else, Monday to Friday. And then on Saturday, instead of, you know, relaxing and recharging and spending time with the family, I spent 8 hours trying to gather all the invoices and prepare that VAT return, only because I didn't want to pay €10 a month for an ERP that was going to do that for me.
Yeah, I'm 100% behind that. You're right. We don't value our own time. And there's a certain machismo sometimes in I'll do it, I'll muscle through or whatever. But
yeah,
I don't think your kids will thank you for it. So Nadia, this was really cool. I absolutely love chatting about a topic like this with someone like yourself who's done so much and really knows and has a passionate for it. There's not millions of us out there, I would like to say. but I see the benefit. I've got the religion now. I see what a difference we make when we free people up. It's very interesting your recommendation on consider your time, because that's not something that you're often allowed to say out loud in an organization. It seems like, oh, hold on, you're just trying to avoid work, are you? Or, you know, shirk off or go home early on a Friday. And maybe there's nothing wrong with answering yes to those questions. But at the same time, your organization could be benefiting a lot more if you had this space to think and actually make a bigger impact, you know?
Correct. I was actually listening to a podcast yesterday. They were actually talking about not overburden the people with many different tasks, because they all take real estate out of your brain. They all take bandwidth. And even if they don't work on them, there's always the back of their mind that, oh, I need to answer an email about that other thing that I'm doing. You're stealing the time they will spend on deep thinking, when it's the productive ideas that are coming from. So you really have to think about, do I give my accountants too much work so that they cannot focus on the important things where their input might actually be valuable for my company?
I agree with that. And if you think that's woo-woo, look up Kaizen or, you know, Toyota's manufacturing processes or making work visible. It's all, there's a lot of hard-nosed business benefit well-known at this stage in that. Nadia, how can people reach out to you if they want to get in touch about anything or need some help with their Oracle implementation or anything else we've talked about today?
They can look me up on LinkedIn. I'm there as Nadia Lodroman. It's probably the only person that's going to come up with that name, so you can't really go wrong with it. And yeah, they can contact me directly through LinkedIn.
Thank you very much for listening to the Gross Profit Podcast. I've started to get a few people reaching out to me on the basis of what I'm about to say next, which is I am looking for awesome guests. As you can see from this interview, there's nothing too nerdy when it comes to accounts and getting the most out of a finance team. So if you are listening to this, if you love this topic, I would love you to reach out to me. Maybe let's figure out another topic we can talk about, go deep on it. There's a few of us crazy ones out there, so let's get together and chat. So until the next one, see you later.